If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 25, and we'll read verses 1 through 11, and that will be our text for this morning. Now let us come together in prayer as we come to hear and understand God's word. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we come now, and we ask that you would help us. This is your word. You have given it through those you have called and gifted. And God, it is your word. And it is your word to your people. Help us now to understand it. Help me as I proclaim it to be faithful to it. And God, work in us. Conform us by it to the image of Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning then in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the word of God. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore to him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letshuim, and Leumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived. 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roi. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. I don't know if any of you have made large purchases or expensive purchases, particularly electronics. When I go somewhere and I make a purchase, I always hear this. It's inevitable. I'll go to the register and the cashier will ask me the question, do you want to buy the extended warranty? And I'm always trying to be prepared for that. No, I don't really want to buy the extended warranty. But it makes me want to ask, why do you want to sell me the extended warranty? What are you saying about your product? I mean, is it going? The limited warranty is 90 days. Is it going to break on day 91? And I think that's almost what they're saying. Things are not made to last, are they? More and more, they're made to be disposable, to throw away. In fact, we shouldn't be surprised about that. Jesus said, your treasure is not here where rust and moth destroy, but your treasure is in heaven, right? Even a lifetime warranty, think about that. A lifetime warranty, what is that? Well, it's not for multiple lifetimes, is it? It has an end too. So even a lifetime warranty is only good for a lifetime. You know, we don't need a lifetime warranty. We need an eternal warranty, don't we? And that's the glorious thing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us an eternal warranty. An eternal warranty. Christians alone have that. God tells us, yes, your body will die. The outward man will fade away. Your soul will continue on, and I will resurrect your body in that day. I give you an eternal warranty in Christ. That's the hope we have, isn't it? The Heidelberg, question one. What is your only comfort? Not only in life, but in death. I don't belong to myself. I'm not my own. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Body and soul, life and death. Now we see here, as we look at the end of Abraham's life, that he died the way he lived in faith. This is almost like Abraham's last will and testament. He's 175 years old. Now, just to give you some background here, if he's 175 years old, and when was Isaac born to him? It's 100. So Isaac would be what, 75? Ishmael around 88 years old. And it's interesting to note, in fact, if we look over at verse 26 of chapter 25, we learn that Esau and Jacob were born to Isaac when Isaac was 60 years old. So here Abraham would have known Esau and Jacob. They would be about 15 years old at his death. He would have seen his grandchildren. But this section particularly ties the Abraham cycle with the Isaac cycle. Really, that's the verse 11 is kind of like a hinge verse. It came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And so we see a generational connection here, don't we? But it's important as we look at this that we understand that how we live is important, but also how we die is important. You know, as a pastor, I feel part of my calling is to preach the Word of God, but it is to do so that you can live and die well. Live and die well in Christ. That's the goal, isn't it? And here we see that God will always be with His people and bless His people, even in death. So I've entitled this, then, Dying in the Faith. Now the first thing we see here is Abraham is preparing to die in the faith. There's a preparation involved. Now that doesn't mean you sit around and just think, okay, I'm ready, I'm waiting. No, Abraham is busy even in his later years. Look at this, he's living in the present. He again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And he has children by this wife. How many are there? He has 6 children. Now, how is this possible? He's an old man. Now, some commentators say, well, he took Keturah as a wife after Hagar had left while Sarah was still alive. That is possible. Here it says he again took a wife, but he took this wife after Isaac was born, certainly. But he has children by her. I think God, in his power, had so given Abraham this new fullness of life, as it were, in bringing about the birth of Isaac, that here he's continuing to be fruitful and multiply. And in doing so, he's fulfilling that command of God that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Be fruitful and multiply. But also, and this is important, here he's fulfilling God's promise to him. If you look over at Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 through 6, here's the promise that God made to Abraham. He says, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." He had Ishmael, he had Isaac, but now here we see the fullness, fullness of this promise of God in Genesis 17, verses 4 through 6. Through these children of Abraham, nations come, and just a couple of them here. Midian, that should be familiar. The Midianites, probably a name familiar to you if you've read the Word of God. Now, who are the Midianites? Well, the Midianites, they are those who traded Joseph to Egypt. Midianite traders. The Midianites were actually instrumental in Moses' life because he married one. His wife was the daughter of a Midianite priest. And the Midianites then would later continually harass Israel. But what about the sons of Midian? Those sons continued to progress. We see that through Keturah we have the Midianites, but also look at the sons of Jokshan. Sheba. Remember the queen of Sheba who came to visit Solomon bringing spices and gold? 1 Kings 10, 1 through 2. So do you see the nations that come through Abraham as he is living in the present in his life? But not only that, he lives in the present, but as he prepares, he plans for the future. He knows he's not going to be around forever. So we see in verse 5 that he gave all that he had to Isaac. Now in the ancient world, a father, prior to his death, would divide his estate between his sons. And sons of full wives could expect then a definite share. We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. But the sons of the concubines were at their father's mercy. So the sons of Keturah weren't really guaranteed anything. In fact, if we look at 1 Chronicles, in chapter 1, verse 32, we learn this about Keturah. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, and verse 32. Now the sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine. So these sons were at the mercy of their father. He gives all that he has to Isaac, but he gives gifts to the sons of Keturah, to the sons of, as we're told here, of the concubines, which would have included then Ishmael. So he gives them gifts and he sends them away. And put it like this. Abraham's wealthy. And we translate it to our day, say he has land and a home and a business. These other sons get a little cash for a down payment on a house and get sent off. Isaac gets the house. Isaac gets the land. Isaac gets the business. Isaac gets everything. Why? Because Isaac is the chosen seed, isn't he? It all goes back again to the promises that God has made. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 12. But God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman." Remember, this is when Abraham was told to send Ishmael away, and now he's sending the other sons away. "Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." Again, fulfilling God's word here. "In Isaac your seed shall be called. This is the promise." Why? Because it is through Isaac, the chosen seed, that the Messiah would come, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And just now, as Abraham gives everything to Isaac, so God gives everything to Christ. And in us, we receive all of those blessings through him. So that's what Abraham is looking for. He's looking to give everything, and he sends, and this is important in the text, he sends his other sons while he was still living. Now he's taking care of all this before he dies. He sends them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. There's a theological import to these words. Remember in the garden, what happens? Adam sins, and he's sent away from God's presence. Where? To the east. Cain sins, murders Abel. Where is he? He goes to the east. The temple is set up with the entrance in the east going west back into the presence of God. So we have to understand the theology that is here. He's sending them away from Isaac. He's sending them away from the chosen seed. Isaac is going to remain in the west. Isaac is going to remain in the land. It is through Isaac that God's blessings and that God is going to dwell with his people. But it's interesting, one commentator says, Abraham sends them away so that they might return. And I think this is true. Think about it. The separation that happens, and all of these other nations, which are then the nations outside of Israel, are sent away so that through Isaac, when Christ comes and Pentecost comes, the nations can come back in, Gentiles and Jews together. So this was actually for their good, send them away, so that the Lord Jesus Christ could come. So Abraham then, in preparation to die, he sets his affairs in order, doesn't he? He gives all that he has to Isaac, the chosen seed. He sends his other children away. Why? Because he's looking for that hope that's going to come through Isaac, the Messiah. He grounds his hope in Christ. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day," because he saw it by faith and not by sight. So he prepares to die in the faith. But then we see the hope that is expressed here of dying in the faith. Verse 7, we're told that the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, were 175 years. We have a summary statement there, 175 years. And then we're told that he breathed his last, died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And the first thing is, we think about the hope that he had dying in the faith, the hope that we ought to have dying in the faith, is that we have a hope of satisfaction at our death. A hope of satisfaction. In fact, the Hebrew here, and in your version, it may have years in verse 8 in italics, because it's not there in the Hebrew. He literally says, an old man and full and satisfied. Not simply with the years God had given him, but he was satisfied in all that God had given him. So as Christians, we're the only ones that can die satisfied. That God has given us the exact number of years that he thought were good for us. That he'd given us everything in this life that he thought was good for us. And Abraham dies fully satisfied. Again, we see a promise of God fulfilled here. Genesis 15 and verse 15. This is all wrapping up in the death of Abraham, all of these promises of God. Genesis 15, verse 15, God speaking to Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." Shouldn't surprise us that this happened to Abraham, because God promised that it would happen. And here we see the fulfillment of it. So we might say that even a Christian who dies young in the world standard is going to be more satisfied than an unbeliever who dies at a very old age. A Christian who, in God's providence, dies at age 20 is better than an unbeliever who lives to age 100. In fact, the philosopher Plato, sometimes these unbelieving philosophers do have understanding by God's common grace, says this: "Old men who have a guilty conscience are miserably tormented and are inwardly racked as by a perpetual torture." It's actually a torture for an unbeliever to live longer, because they have to live with this guilty conscience. They don't have peace with God. Think about that. An unbeliever lives with this tension. I don't want to die, but I also don't really want to live. What a horrible place to be. What a horrible existence to have. If you trust in Christ, you have peace with God. But if you don't, and maybe you don't, maybe this is your existence, maybe you have a guilty conscience, you have not come to Christ, you do not understand the gospel, that your heart has not been changed, well, then you need to come to Christ. You need to trust in Him. Abraham knew that. The only answer is the faith that Abraham had, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham had that. He was able to die full. Yes, he died at a good old age, but again, as a believer, we always die full. Not a day longer or a day shorter in God's providence. But also, he's satisfied because he knows that he is leaving a legacy of faith. Now think about this. Abraham lived 100 years in the land of Canaan, and yet he didn't see the promises of God fulfilled in his lifetime fully. In fact, the author of Hebrews speaks of this. Hebrews and chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what faith does. Faith then sees the promises and is assured of the promises and embraces and confesses the promises even when we don't see them fully manifested in our lives. That's what Abraham was doing. Think of his patience, 100 years in the land, and he dies not seeing them all fulfilled. We get impatient with 100 days, don't we? We need to have the perspective of Abraham. Start thinking in generations. What's the legacy that you're leaving for your children and your grandchildren? That's what's important, isn't it? We can become so focused on ourselves and our life, but we need to think, as Abraham is thinking here, I want my children to be blessed and my grandchildren. In fact, verse 11, and it came to pass when, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac. Abraham didn't see the blessings during his lifetime. They happened after his death, in a sense, to Isaac, right? This shows truly that God's steadfast love endures forever. Now, parents, you have a great influence on your children. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they lived in a certain area, and they said, oh, I really like this professional sports team. I said, why do you like that professional sports team clear across the country? Because my dad loved that team. What an influence. But you know, that's not the important thing to leave with your children. That's fine. But that's not what's important. You're going to leave a lot with your children, spoken and unspoken. But the most important thing, parents, that you can leave for your children is a hearty and a vibrant faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that's going to matter for eternity. The only thing. So that's what you need to do. That's the greatest blessing. And be assured, you will sometimes not see the fruit of your labors in this life. I think that can be an encouragement to parents who maybe your children are off somewhere. You're not sure. You're praying. Abraham didn't see everything in his life. You won't either. Don't give up hope. Continue to pray and to trust in God and His promises. That's what you ought to do. We need to take that long-term perspective. So the hope of dying satisfied. The hope then, secondly, of reunion with loved ones after death. Notice what is said here in verse 8, the last portion. And he was gathered to his people. People, plural. Now he's going to be buried in the cave with Sarah, one other person. But here we're told he's gathered to his people. And this is not simply just a way of saying he went to a better place, he went this and this. No, there's a theological import here. He was gathered to his people. He was gathered to those who went before him in the faith. There is existence after death. And you're going to be gathered with your people. Now the question is, though, who are your people? You're going to be gathered with your people, but who are your people? That's the question for you and I, isn't it? We're going to be gathered to our people one day. The question is, which people are you going to be gathered to? Now, I hope and pray that every one of you that I'm looking at right now, I will see in heaven. Gathered together with your people. But you won't be there if you're not trusting in Christ alone for salvation. You won't. So it's something to think about. We want to be gathered together with our people, but we must know that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only those who do my will. Only those whose hearts have been changed by the Spirit, who now love the things of God, who hate the things of the world, will be gathered to God's people. Who are you longing to see again, who have been gathered to God's people? What a joy. Think about that. We will see one another again. But are you preparing your soul for that end? Are you prepared to die in the faith? But not only that, we see that he was gathered to his people, but he was buried. Now, look at what happens after his death here. Ishmael and Isaac come back together. We're not told whether they came back together before this, but here at least the two brothers are back together. They bury their father in the cave in Machpelah. And he's buried with Sarah. Now again, as we looked at Sarah's burial, we saw that burial is a picture then of the fact that the same body that goes into the grave will be that body that is resurrected. So not only do we have a hope when we die in the faith of being reunited with those who have gone before us in the faith, but we have a hope in the resurrection of the body. Abraham's body is buried with Sarah. And I think it's interesting here that they're buried together. There's something, I saw a picture of a tombstone that had two names on it connected. And I think there's something that we're saying when people are buried together, right? We're saying, we're recognizing that even in death, we won't be separated because of Christ. And those same bodies that are buried will be resurrected to newness of life in Christ. So what a great hope here. What a great, as we talked about earlier, eternal warranty, right? God doesn't say, welcome to your life, you have 90 days, and you can upgrade to the extended warranty if you want. God doesn't even say, welcome to your life, I give you a lifetime warranty. He says, if you're in Christ, I give you an eternal warranty. An eternal warranty, because your life is precious to God. Precious in the eyes of God is the death of his saints. Abraham's death was precious to God. He breathed his last here. Now, even the most faithful are not exempt from death. Our outward man is going to perish. But our inward man, the Bible says, is being renewed day by day because of our union with Christ. But this eternal warranty really is only the hope of the believer. For an unbeliever outside of Christ, life must be dreadful. And I think that's why so often we see all of this focus on the outward body. The unbeliever wants the fountain of youth. Exercise more. Eat this. Now, I'm not saying exercise is bad or eating healthy. Hear me. But what I am saying is when we put all the stress on that, on looking younger, it starts to reflect where our priorities are, where our hope is. And Paul says, if our hope is only in this life, we are to be most pitied. But our hope is not only in this life, is it? No, absolutely not. The Bible says that our youth, like the eagle's wing, is being renewed, and that's spiritually. So I don't care if you're 7 years old, 70 years old, you're young spiritually. Young spiritually and continuing to grow because you'll live forever. So I just want to remind you that your hope is not in this life. Enjoy this life, yes, but your hope is not here. Your hope is in Christ. So it's a bit counterintuitive, right, that we would rejoice at death. But we can, because we know it's not the end. But again, the question becomes, are you prepared for death? Are you going to die in the faith? Are you then preparing your family by leading them spiritually and guiding them so that when you're gone, that faith will continue on? Well, the only way to do so is to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham understood that. He had faith in Christ. He looked forward. That was the ground of his hope, and that needs to be the ground of our hope, because there's no hope in any one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word and this message of hope that you give us in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That although this body will continue to fade, God, that we have our life hidden with Christ in the heavenlies. God, give us that hope and encourage our hearts. Help us to be fervent in prayer and in worship, knowing, God, this great gift that you have given to us. And now we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.